Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in the middle of Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph of Masachet Bava Kama in our analysis of the sixth Mishnah. And in the middle, we have just been discussing the issue of having the evidence present for Nezakin. So, Ibai Elohu Yesh Omen the Nezakin or Ein Omen the Nezakin. Does Beit Din really have to do an assessment to see about Nezakin? We'll see. Mi'amrin Lekatalahu Dam Dinan. Do we say that they just do that for murder or death? See, this weapon is strong enough to kill. This weapon was not strong enough to kill. This ox was big enough to kill, etc. Avala Nezakin called who? But for Nezakin, any damage is considered to be enough to have caused the damage, and we don't assess it. Perhaps we do just what we do with death. Toshma, ma, bor. So we go back to the Mishnah, hey, in Parakei. Ma, bor, sheish bokudet amid asar atfachim. We said, why did the Torah pick boar? Since you're liable for any trench, it said, because to tell you that boar has a particular shear, which it can only kill a 10 tfachim or deeper. And therefore, if it was not, it was shallow, more shallow than 10 tfachim, an animal fell in and died, patur. Huzak bo chayav. But if it got damaged, chayav. And we understand that to mean, my lav mata l'mala kochoshiv. Doesn't that mean that we're counting up, meaning from 0 to 10? Meaning, 10 is a killer boar. Anything less than 10, without us looking into the details, is your chayv for nezek. So you see, there is no omed. Well, they're counting down, meaning starting from 10 and going down. Ten and deeper, there's death. Less than 10, a little bit, meaning 9, there's nezakin, but not mita. And it's possible that Beit Din indeed does an assessment for nezakin. And each thing, so it's circumstantial and subjective, each thing needs to be measured about its ability to do the kind of damage that happened. So we don't yet know. Toshma. If you hit your Eved right on the eye and blinded him or right on the ear and made him deaf, Eved Yosef ben Lacheret, he goes free. But if you hit him near his eye and now he can't see, or near his ear and he can't hear, ain't Eved Yosef ben Lacheret, doesn't go free. My Tama, what's the reason? Isn't it because we need an Umdana, and here there's no way for us to really assess what happened? And you see that without the ability to really assess whether the attack caused the damage that followed, we can't hold liability. Now, here what we assume happened is you boxed him near his ear and he had a psychological or a trauma reaction that caused himself to go deaf. Kedetanya, and we had a brighter like that we saw in Parakakones. If you scare somebody with a consequence to it, you have moral culpability without legal liability. Ketzad, what's the example? Takabos novachersho patur. If you either blasted in his ear or boxed his ear or something, and the result was that you deafened him, here it probably does mean taka in the, with the sound. You're patur, but achzov v'takov v'takavos no v'chersho chayav. But if you held on to his ear and blew into it, then you're chayav. So you see that here the reason is because we assume that the fellow generated his own deafness. Toshma. So a final attempt here. Chamisha dvarim omdinotan otov notnin lomiyad. The five payments that we're dealing with throughout our perek, we assess and give right away. So for instance, ripui v'shevet ad shitrapei. We say medical treatment and loss of wages, we assess how long it'll take for you to get better. Amdu v'yamit navnev holech, if they assessed him and it turned out he was getting worse, and as they thought in 3 weeks he'd get better. By the time 3 weeks comes, even worse off. Ain't only milo alakamosh amdu, they still only give him the original payment as per the assessment. Amdu v'hivri, if the opposite happened, they assessed, let's say, 3 weeks, and it turned out he got better in a week, he's back at work. Only milo alakamosh amdu, he still gets everything they assessed. But the issue for us that concerns us is there is an assessment for Nezakin. So the answer is that's a no-brainer. To estimate how long this guy is going to be sick or in bed from that wound, that we weren't asking, that we for sure assess. Tanya Bailan, what were we asking? Lemei mar cheftza I avid hai nizka il olo. To assess the instrument to see whether it could have done this kind of nezek or not. My, what's the answer? Toshma, Shimon Atemani Omer, my grof miyuchad shemasur le'edo le'edim, as we saw in yesterday's, in the previous podcast. Shimon Atemani said, why does it say a grof and even? To tell you that just like a fist is something that the edim and the beitim can see, therefore, the weapon of that's used for nezek has to be something that can be seen by the Beit Din and by the witnesses. Shma minayish omid l'nezokin. So you see from there that there is such a thing as omid l'nezokin. Shma mina, and that's a good proof. Amar mar. By the way, in the brayta that we just saw, amduhu v'hivrin olim lo komash amduhu. If they assessed 3 weeks, let's say, and he got better in a week, then they still give him 3 weeks worth of ripui and shevet. Messiah little Rava, that supports Rava. Dama Rava, Haiman damdu l'chula yoma. Let's say they assessed him that he'd be out all day. V'itpach l'palga di yoma v'kavid avid. Then he got better in midday and he's back at work. Yavina l'chula yoma, they still give him labor for the whole day. Why? Min shamayahu derachmi alay. It's min hashamayim, they had rachamim on him, and they allowed him to get back to work earlier, and it's a gain, it's a gift from heaven. So in the same way, we would have to posit that if they assessed him to be sick for a week, and it turns out he's sick for 3 weeks, that's a punishment on Shemayim, we don't give him more than a week. Okay, back in the Mishnah, we said that if that in our scale of Boshet, that if the fellow spit, and the spittle hit the victim, he has to pay 400 zuz. Right? So Amar Papa Loshanu Elabo. That's only talking about if the spittle hits him. Aval Bevig Dolo, if it hit his garments, no. Why isn't that like just embarrassing with words? At least he spit at somebody, hits his garments, or spit in front of him. It's embarrassing. This was a proof to the idea that that insulting somebody or embarrassing somebody with words alone does not generate liability within the context of battery. They have another liability, but it doesn't. But it's certainly liable for onas dvarim as the sugin b'matzia. But it does not engender liability here within the context of the Zakin. Hakol afi kvodo. Now, if you remember, the Mishnah said that we had a whole series of schedule of fees or a schedule of payments, and then the Tanakhama said hakol afi kvodo, which seems to go against the idea of a schedule of payments. So that means that we came to the conclusion that the schedule of payments was either a ceiling or a floor. In other words, you could pay as much as 200 for this. But it would be less if you were of a lesser station. Or perhaps that you could pay, everybody will get 200 for this, and depending on your position in society, maybe more. So, Yibayaluhu Tanakama Lakula Kamar, was the Tanakama saying, Akola Fikvodo Lakula, or Lakumra Kamar, meaning Lakula Kamar, the Ika Anidlo Baila Mishka Kulihai, that maybe there are some people who are poor and of a lowly station, and they should not get as much as the amounts listed, and the lists, and the amounts listed are a ceiling. Well, Dilma l'chumra kamar. Perhaps it's a chumra. De'ik asher, the boy in the mate of late fei. Maybe there's an asher who has to get more. So, toshma, let's see. The kamar Rabbi Kiva, look at Rabbi Kiva's response. Afil anim shvi Yisrael, reino tan kilo en b'nei chorin sheyardu minichseim. V'navram mitzchak v'yakov. Remember what Rabbi Kiva says, that we saw earlier in a braita in her mayor's name. Since every Jew is a child of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they have to be viewed as formerly noble people who are currently going through a tough time. Which means much greater than just poor people. Shma minah, so what is Rabbi Kiva doing? He's dissenting. Tanakama l'kula kamar, shma minah. So we see that Tanakama was saying it's l'fi kvodo, meaning these amounts could be less. Rabbi Kiva is saying, no, everybody's going to get that high amount because everybody should be regarded as being a former noble. And then we have this story about the fellow who ripped off the woman's head covering and he didn't want to pay because he later proved to Rabbi Kiva that the woman herself wasn't so careful about it. Uma sebecha jepar rosh ha'isha. Umi avinan zman. Question is, since when do we give somebody zman, a time, before they pay? V'amar chanina eno nim zman l'chabalot. We do not give time to pay for chabala. If you hurt somebody, you've got to pay right away. The answer is kilu yavin leizman lechabala dechaser mamona. That's when it comes to real damage when the person has lost money. There's a financial loss, nezek, shevet, for instance, ripui. These are things that they're out financially. Havalaboshet, and we'd have to add tsar delochaser mamona. Those are cases where you really did not lose any money. In a situation like that, then Then you have vinan. Then we are comfortable giving you time to pay, because in the meantime the person is not out, money. Okay. Good. All right. Shamar omeret al petach chatzera. Now, in the story, the way that we have it in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, this fellow with Rabbi Akiva, waited outside of the woman's gate and broke a thing in front of her, and she took off her hair covering, and she started beating her head. They brought the witnesses, and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah said to him, even though you're not allowed to hurt yourself, if somebody else hurts you, you're chayiv. But in this other bright, we have a different version. It's a beautiful piece of poetry. You swam in mighty waters, and all you came up with was a piece of pottery, meaning you made a lot of effort, and you got nothing out of it. Why? You're allowed to hurt yourself. Now, in the version in our Mishnah was, you're not allowed to hurt yourself, but you're potter. So which is it? And there's a huge question. Are you allowed to hurt yourself? Rav had a simple solution. Physically hurting yourself, that you're not allowed to do. Boshet, you're allowed to shame yourself. You're allowed to act like a fool in public or do whatever you want in public. It's up to you. But that won't work because of Hamat Nitin Meboshetu. Our Mishnah was talking about a case of Boshet, and it was specifically in that case that Rabbi Akiva in the version of the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to. So the answer is Hachika Amarle. We have to read both statements working together. In the Mishnah, what Rabbi Akiva said was, Lo, we buy a Boshet. Certainly in the case of Boshet, which is what happened here, that's the version in the Braita. The person's allowed to embarrass himself. And nonetheless, if somebody else embarrasses him in the same way that he embarrasses himself, you have to pay. Elafilu chabola. Even in the case of physically harming yourself, that a person is not allowed to hurt himself, if other people hurt him, then they are chayav. So that's how we resolve the Braita and the Mishnah. Now, parenthetically, the person would be not allowed to physically hurt himself. In Parshat Vayikra, in the context of the Korban Olah V'Yored, which is the sliding scale Korban for different things that you chayev, one of them is Shvuat Bitui, when you take a Shvuah to do something or to avoid something. And the phrasing used in the Torah is Lahara, which literally means to do something bad or do something good. But the way that it's understood halachically is lahara is to do something of deprivation, and that is to say I'm not going to eat something, and lahitiv is to do something of satisfaction. I'm going to do something. I'm going to eat something. All right. So now, how do we know that if a person took an oath to hurt himself and doesn't do it, that he's chayav? I might think he's patur. It's amud lomar lahara ulahitiv. The text says lo ra leitiv ma tava reshut afara reshut. Just like hatava has to be something which is reshut. This we studied in the Darim as part of the distinction between shvuot and the Darim. In the context of a shvuah, it has to be something which you are not otherwise bound to do. You can't take a shvuah and eat matzah on Pesach night because you're chayiv to do it. Enish bar nala mitzvahs. So ma tava reshut, just like the hatava has to be something which is reshut, afara reshut. So similarly, the doing bad has to be something that's permissible. Which means avinish bala harabatzmo velohira. So therefore, I include even if somebody takes an oath to hurt himself and doesn't hurt himself, that he's still chayiv for that for violating the shvuah. Which means it's reshut. You're allowed to hurt yourself. Amar Shmuel be'eshev b'tanit said, what's the context? It's a context of when the person says, "I'm going to fast." Hurting yourself doesn't mean physically harming yourself. It means fasting, deprivation. But that doesn't work because we're talking about harming yourself as a symmetrical piece to harming others. Where do you have a situation where you can make other people have a tanit? Where we're making a parallel to ours? The answer is, they'll block them up in a cage for a while and force them not to eat. I mean, it's a silly case, but nonetheless, theoretically, it could be. But that doesn't work because in the Braita about the Shvuah, we said, what does it mean to hurt others in the context of a Shvuah? I'll hit somebody, I'll bust his head. That's the oath that we're talking about. Which means the parallel is I'll hurt myself physically. And we said that that is within the realm of Rashut and the Shvuah is Chal. Ela Tanoihi. The answer is that hurting yourself is a machloka Tanaim, whether you're allowed to. We have this machloket. Now the question is, Mantan Rishamat Le Damar Ena Damar Shar Lechabal Batzmo. So who is it who said you're not allowed to? Now, of course, the easiest answer would be Rabbi Kiva, but Rabbi Kiva was saying it as an axiom. Where does it come from? Ilei Mahay Tana Hu Ditanya Vet Achet Imchem Nafshot Echemed Rosh, on the Pasuk that said at the second Brit, as it were, after the Mabul, made with Noach and his sons, it says, I will seek your blood from your life. And what's the drush on that? Many drushot in that in Sanhedrin. Rabbi Lazar Omer Miyad Nafshot Echemed Rosh Etimchem. Meaning, from your own life, I will seek your blood. Meaning that if somebody takes his own life, he has a cheshbon with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, you're not allowed to hurt yourself that way. That doesn't answer it. V'domak talashani. Maybe that's different because there is death involved. Elahai tanahu. It must be this tana who says you're not allowed to hurt yourself. Tanya. You can tear your clothes, and that's not a violation of following pagan ways. If somebody dies, and that's your reaction. I'm Rabbi Elazar. I heard that if somebody tears too much, that it's a violation of Baal Tashchit, of unwarranted destruction. And our read is, so certainly, if you're not allowed to hurt your clothes, you can't hurt your body. Say, no, that's not the case. Maybe clothes are different. After all, you hurt yourself, you get better. You hurt your clothes, they don't get better. Rabbi Yochanan's famous piece in Masachat Shabbat used to refer to his clothes as his kavod. Rav Chista karhavi maski bene hizmi vihigi, when Rav Chista used to walk among thorn bushes, madi lulamane, he would lift up his garments and let his legs get scratched. Amar zema le'arucha v'zeinu ma le'arucha. My legs will get better, my garments will get better. So that doesn't prove anything. The fact that you're not allowed to too much destruction on your clothes as a response to death doesn't tell you that you can't hurt your body. It must be this Tana. We saw this several times in the Darim. Mata and the Nazir. Mata with Lomar v'chiper alav me'ashochat al ha'nafesh. That a Nazir Tamei has to bring a chatat and it's chatal ha'nefesh. He sinned against the wife. Chibez ha'nefesh chataza. Who did he sin against? The answer is that he abstained from wine. Now we got a kalvachomer. This guy who avoided wine and abstained from only one pleasure of life is called a chote. Somebody who really afflicts himself, certainly. So then the next step would be to say, as if somebody physically punishes himself and hurts himself, how much more so he's considered to be a sinner. But parenthetically, at no point does it say that you're not allowed to do it. It's just saying that it's a wrong kind of thing to do in a kind of general aesthetic sense, but not in a particular legal sense of a violation of really hurting yourself. So really we're kind of left hanging saying, where is an authority who says what Rabbi Akiva assumes, which is you're not allowed to hurt yourself? Okay, the last part of the Mishnah said that if you cut down your own trees, you're not allowed to do it, but you're potter. If somebody else cuts them down, he's chayiv. The question is, are you really not allowed to cut down your own trees, and under what circumstances might you be? And the violation is Baal Tashchit, which is alluded to in the last pasuk on the page. I would have put the proper pasuk of Baal Tashchit, which is the pasuk before that, but as you can see, the page is full. Tani Rava Bar Bachana Kameh D'Rav. So he taught in front of Rav. A very bizarre statement. Shori haragta. If a victim comes up to an aggressor and says, you killed my ox. The tiotai katatsta. You cut down my saplings. And the other fellow, in either one of those cases, responds, tamarta li lohargo. Tamarta li lohargo. So you told me to kill him. You told me to chop him down. Patur. He's potter. So then Rav's response is, that's ridiculous. You're not leaving life for anybody. The world of torts is just blown up. Because every time somebody claims that another fellow hurt him, and the other fellow says back, "Yeah, you asked me to do it." Certainly, with Nizkei Mamon. So Kol Kamine, you have the ability to make such a claim and be believed. So Amar Le Yisme. So Rabba Bar Chana said to Rav, Rebbe, should I wipe this out of my canon of Braitot? Is this just a wrong Braitot? Amar Le Lo. He said, "No, keep it. Tetagei Matnitach, but interpret it as follows: B'shor Me La Harigah, we learn how Me Liksisad. It's a shore that's about to be killed." And it's about to be killed, let's say it's like a shor hanisgal or some other dangerous animal. Uvilano mebiksitsa, it's a tree that's about to be cut down for a proper reason, as you'll see. So if that's the case, then what's the victim claiming? If the animal is going to be killed anyways, and the tree was going to be felled anyways, what's he claiming? I wanted to do the mitzvah. It's my property. I want to do the mitzvah of destroying it, and you took it away from me. And that really has teeth to it. The Tanya v'shafach v'chisa, the chiyu of kisui adam, uses the verb v'shafach, he spilled the blood, and v'chisa, and the drush is misha shafach yichasa, the same one who spills the blood should cover the blood. U'maseh mechad shachar v'kadam chavero v'chisa, so the fellow did shechita, and before he had a chance to cover the blood, another fellow came and covered the blood. V'chivor magamliel tenu asara zehuvi, magamliel found the blood coverer liable for stealing the opportunity to do the mitzvah from the shochet and forced him to pay 10 gold pieces. So halacha lemaisa, in particular cases, brought in chesh mishpat, if somebody steals a mitzvah opportunity. That's what the fellow was claiming here. Amar Rav Dikla Tain Kaba, so the mitzvah says. So now we talk about batashkid itself. You have a palm tree that has a kav worth of dates on it. You're not allowed to cut it down. So meitave, we have a challenge that kamei hebezayit v'lo yikatzet. So what's the shear? How much olives do you have to have on an olive tree and say you can't cut it down? Rova, a fourth of a kav. The answer is shani zeitim nechshivi. Olives are much more dear, much more precious, and therefore even one quarter of a kav is enough. Which tells you, by the way, that trees are not trees. Each tree is a world to itself and has its own shiurim based on its own value. And we'll see the value issue come in even further. I'm Rav Chanina lo shachiv shivchat bri. My son Shivchat died. Ela dekatz teinata v'lo zimna. He cut this fig tree down before its time had come. And it's almost as if to say, Adam etz hasadeh, God cut him down before his time. I'm Ravina avim hayam me'ulav adamim. He says, but by the way, if the tree was worth a lot as wood, mutar, you're allowed to cut it down. And as if the wood was valuable. Tamihachi, and we have a brighter that says the following, that in the pasuk that allows you to cut down deciduous trees, it says, Rak eitz asher teda, kiloitz machalhu. And the drush is, eitz asher teda, zeilan machal. It's a fruit tree. Kiloitz machalhu, zeilan srak. That's a deciduous tree. Chmiachash, sofin alabot kodarai, since in the end we're going to allow all trees to be cut down, maltam lom kiloitz machal. So why did the Torah go out of its way to allow a deciduous tree? Lakdim srak lamachal, to have it go first. Meaning, if for purposes of war you have to cut down a tree, then the tree that you should cut down is the deciduous tree. Yachol afilu mu'ulav adamim, I might think that you can't cut down this fruit tree even if it's worth more. I might think you still have to have the deciduous tree come first. Tamloma rak, therefore it says rak. And therefore, this precedence that happens of having a deciduous tree comes first is limited to a case where they're both of equal value as wood. All right, now we have a story. Shmuel Aitile Arise Tamri, his sharecropper, brought him some dates. Achil Taimbu Tamad Achamra. He ate the dates. They had a little grape taste in them, or wine taste. Amalei Maihai, he said, what is it? Amalei Beni Gufni Kaimi. This tree is between the vineyards, or in the vineyard. Not a violation of kilayim. Amar mechashi bechamra kulehai. It has such an effect on the grapes that it squeezes out the taste. Lamachar aiti limikurayhu. And this is a little unclear what he was asking. Did he want to bring me the whole tree, in other words, uproot it? And that's teaching us a lesson that you're allowed to uproot even a fruit-bearing tree if it's interfering with other fruit-bearing trees that are nearby. Or did he mean bring me the core of the tree? Really, the kuraihu, so the heart of the tree, and to see really what this taste is like as part of an investigation. Chista chazatali begufni, he saw date trees in the vineyard. Amar Larise told his sharecropper, Akrinu, uproot them. Gufni dkani dikli, dikli dkani gufni. Vines can buy date palms. What he means by that is that the vineyard is worth a lot more. You could sell some grapes and buy a palm tree and vice versa not. So therefore, one of them has to go, so the palm tree should go. And these are all, of course, permissions to uproot trees in spite of the potential problem of Baal Tashchit. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll do the last Mishnah Zayin, and its attendant Gemara taking us to the end of the Perek in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.